I mean, there was a combination of social and politics.
Yeah.
So it was a group of people built around Hoppy and Miles. Mm. They were probably the two key people.
Yeah.
And so they sort of collected some people together, as it were. I don't know how I got involved, but I mean, I knew Hoppy and he probably said, oh, I'm doing this thing. And so I would have just gone along because it was, you know, oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that I wrote there, which was closer to the time than now, so it's probably more accurate. And we sort of agreed that we would like to set up a London Free School. It was an idea which emerged, where it came from, probably from Hoppy, but, you know. And it was a reflection of where we lived and what was happening. You know, around Paris Square, they're like these houses, but bigger. Over there, they're sort of another floor up. And they were mainly, a lot of them had been brought up by this guy, Rackman. And they weren't public housing, it was landlords. He was a landlord.
Yeah.
And he was willing to have black people staying there. So what they were very overcrowded. They were he didn't maintain them. But they were at least somewhere to live. So you could get somewhere to live. So the people were coming off from, you know, from the West Indies. Where should they go and live? And they, as is always the case and still is, people from certain regions go to a certain area. And it's usually the area is where previous people from that region have come.
Yeah.
You know, so up in Finchley Road, there were a lot of Japanese.
Really?
Yeah, up off the Finchley Road, which is over there was, certainly when my, you know, when my late wife was there, you know, sort of 30 years ago. I mean, there was a lot, because there was a Japanese school up there somewhere, and it was a place where Japanese liked to live. It was, the air was better and the parks and things like that. And so, and I think there's a Japanese school in Camden Town. So all those things, you know, and that's where my partner lived up there. But that was just simply because it was, she had a room in an apartment which was owned or was rented by another Canadian. My wife was, she was from Canada. And when I first met her, she was living actually in Geneva. And she came over to London to visit with her girlfriend, who was Ornette Coleman's girlfriend. And they came over to London because she was doing a concert in London. And I met her because she, somehow or another, she knew my friend Hank Wangford, whose real name is Sam Hupp. But anyway, he's an old friend of mine. And somehow or another, they had his address. So they came, and he was living in Soho at the time. And so I was sitting there talking with Hank, and then these two girls walked in, and one of them was Sumi. She was living up in thing, and before we knew where we were an item. I mean, very quickly, we sort of moved in together, and then we got married even, which was very rare in those days, but we got married. I suppose that's also probably thinking about immigration and things, you know. So that was how I met with Sumi, and we lived together. That Mushi is her daughter. And we lived together till she died in 2005.
When did you meet Sumi-san?
66.
66, so just at that time.
Yeah, just shortly after, or 65 maybe, but you know.
Oh, so the same time when
all this stuff was happening.
Yeah, the Hoppy living and start the London Free School.
Yeah, and we were living not here, back then I was living over in Ebrook Road because a friend of mine had enough money to pay a deposit on the house. And I paid I was able to get a mortgage on the other half of the house. So between us, so we had half the house each.
Yeah. At that time you were lecturer.
Yes, I was still lecturing, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was able to get a mortgage, because I had a proper job.
You are a lecturer, and also you are involved in Notting Hill activity, and also music.
No, I was a lecturer. I was a music fan, and I was in the sort of social scene of central London, and, you know, I was living in Covent Garden when there was a scene there. And so, you know, one of my friends there was Eric Clapton,
mm.
you know, so there was, it was always quite a sort of, you know, there were poets and things like that whom we knew. You know, Pete Brown, who wrote a lot of the Cream's lyrics, was a friend of ours. And they, a lot of those people came from Cambridge, from when where I was at college. And interestingly, Hank was at Cambridge, Hank Wankford, where I met Sumi. He was at Cambridge, and I'd known him before because he was great friends with my first girlfriend.
Oh.
Even earlier, you know. So there's these sort of networks going back, you know. So then we moved here about 40 years ago.
So what is your interest in London Free School?
What? Why the interest in London? Oh, it just seemed like good. It was social.
Social. So,
and also, you know, it was a sort of mission. I mean, I come from a left-wing background.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an academic, and I was doing sociology and economics and Labour government, and I was working with people who were advising the Labour government. Mm-hmm. So I was very involved with social policy issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why... That and smoking dope were the two things which, you know, and then music came along as well. But the music really came after the London Free School.
Oh, really?
Not it was before. From the London Free School that it was through that connection that I saw the Floyd the first time.
Mm.
The London, whatever it was, a Technicolor Dream. No, it wasn't Technicolor Dream. It was a...
Before.
A free... No, before All Saints, it was a show in at the Old Marquee, which was on Oxford Street. It was a music venue.
Mm-hmm.
And we had it on a Sunday. It was Bernard Stallman, whose name was the guy who put it on. And I think it might have been called a freak out or something like that. But I went to that because it was on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on a Sunday because you could get premises back then, licensed premises which sold alcohol, couldn't stay open late on Sunday.
Mm.
So Marquee was a jazz club, and so their business was involved with, you know, selling, being a fairly late place where you could get drink.
Mm.
So when they had to close because of their licensing laws, they had to close at 10 or something, you know.
Okay.
Mm. Really quite early.
Oh.
So that the... And it was why we also ended up with UFO later on.
Yeah.
It was difficult to... It wasn't worth opening the venue. So that was the day the venues, all the music venues, had their day off on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Because they couldn't stay late and have people drinking.
Yeah.
So I went to that thing, and that's where I first saw the Floyd. And it was that same sort of network which was led to the London Free School. You know, in other words, it was sort of... network of people. So Stallman, I think Hoppy knew Bernard, you know, the Stallman brothers, and there was links with America. And Stallman was a brother of the manager of the band in New York called the Fugs. And so there was sort of telephonic links with people in America. And I went to America when I was 17, which had been 1960, I went to America.
Mm.
I think subsequently I went and was introduced to electro and so on, and that's where I got to see more people. Joe Boyd put me in touch with people at Elektra, because he worked for Elektra. And Elektra nearly signed the Floyd. I mean, Jack Holtzman came to see them and didn't see it. He could have signed them. I bet he was kicking himself probably to his dying day that he never signed the Floyd.
Mm.
Because Joe had worked with sort of people, with promoters on the East Coast and West Coast. He'd worked on Folk Festival, Newport Folk Festival and things like that. So he had some involvement in music. He'd done some production. I guess he must have been a couple of years older than me, two or three years older than me. But he'd been at Princeton, which is where he got his music. I'd been at Cambridge. And somehow or another, he ended up producing the Floyd, the Floyd's first record, which we did in Sound Technique Studio in Chelsea.
Mm.
Maybe partly because I met him through the London Free School. I don't know quite how this sequence of events goes, you know.
Mm.
Joe was part of the same gang. The London Free School was something that we thought... I guess it was partly because of the... Labour government, there was an awareness of social issues.
Mm.
And I think by and large we all came out of a left-wing background, and we probably, all of us, really one way, I know certainly Hoppy and I had been on some Aldermaston marches against nuclear weapons and so on. So there was a general sort of political thing, and it was on the back of that that the first Labour government came in, you see. So it was all, you know, Harold Wilson and so on. So it was all a time, and it was a reflection of that time. So there we were all sort of young graduates with a social awareness post-war. Because if you think about it, 1965 was only 20 years after the end of the war. And, I mean, you probably know from, you know, how long wars take to unwind their effects, you know, how long it takes. So we'd all been brought up in a socialist tradition because of the sort of politics of the 40s and the 50s. Also, we'd all had university education, which would have been free, and we were the first generation, I suppose, who had free healthcare, free education, free university education, and we got grants to be educated. You know, I got my fees paid at Cambridge, and I got money to live on, all paid for. And I think probably we all had that, all the English people would have had that. So there was that sort of awareness that we'd been given a lot, and these poor people who were living just up the road from us were living in these terrible conditions, and they didn't have an education, and that was what the London Free School was all about. It was all about a feeling that we should be transferring our knowledge wider out. And that was the idea. We never really did it. We just talked about it. We were just typical students, all talk, no action. But we, some things did stay, you know, so that, like, I stayed doing the Pink Floyd. You know, UFO, Joe Boyd ended up with Hoppy running, and then mainly Joe Boyd running UFO. Miles ended up running the International Times, which, as it were, was the first alternative newspaper in London. So there were all those things were coming out, and in a way, the initial chemistry of the people in the London Free School was so strong that we stimulated each other. And lots of things came from it.